Welcome to another episode in the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name is Julia Saracini. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for improving dairy cattle health and welfare from a One Health perspective. As you've now come to hear, this channel features a number of different series, from animal care to biosecurity to research summaries and beyond. Our goal is to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. We're continuing on with our mini-series on the research done as part of Herman Barkema's Industry Research Chair at the University of Calgary. In this episode, we're joined by Linda Dorstein, a PhD candidate at the University of Calgary, to discuss her research on veterinarian and farmer communication during herd health visits. Farmers and veterinarians have a unique relationship. Both parties care deeply for the animals on the farm and work to improve animal health and welfare. Herd health visits are a time to check on the reproductive status of cows, but also these visits are so much more. Communication during herd health visits is key for building understanding, shared goals, and giving and receiving advice. So, how are the communication skills of veterinarians? Recent research listened in to herd health visits and gave farmers and veterinarians the chance to weigh in on the communication skills of the veterinarians. So, let's dive in. Hi, Linda. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you on and to learn more about your research on communication between farmers and their advisors and kind of the impacts that this has and the potential that it has on influencing change. So to jump right in, can you tell us a little bit about you yourself? So where are you at in your graduate school journey? Give us a little bit of an overview for the listeners in terms of where you're at and how you got there.
So a bit of an overview is, so I'm Dutch, and I moved to Canada for this PhD in 2019. Which makes me being in the fourth, fifth year of my PhD. And I'm a veterinarian. I started off doing small animal medicine for a couple of years. And during my time in practice, I noticed that even though we may give really good veterinary advices, the way it comes across is not always the same, and it differs per veterinarian how it comes across or whether it lands with our customers, so to say. So that got me interested in communication. And when this PhD position came along, I thought, well, why not combine my love for travel, people, communication, and vet med, and go for this opportunity? So that's when I moved to Calgary, and the project was an international one between Canada, the Netherlands, and Belgium. So I've been going back and forth between the Netherlands and Canada for those years now. And I'm actually based a bit more in the Netherlands nowadays. But at the moment, I'm in Canada, and I'm always very happy to be back here.
Can you give us a bit of an overview of the research project that you're currently involved in to give our listeners some context into what you've been working on through your PhD?
Yeah, of course. So the broad topic would indeed be communication between veterinarians and dairy farmers specifically. And it's one project that has multiple mini or side projects in it. So we're looking at the use of a veterinary dialogue trainer, so an online tool for veterinarians to practice their communication skills. We're also looking at how can you even measure communication? When do we know it's effective or not? And so that's another project. And the biggest project that I'm working on is on the effectiveness of communication training. And then we're looking at specifically, so the effect on the communication skills of the veterinarian. But we're also looking at whether farmers are more or less satisfied with their veterinarians before and after the communication training, and whether they're more or less likely to put the advice that they get from their veterinarians into practice.
And if you had to kind of give us a little bit of context in terms of, we know that it's important for farmers and veterinarians to have good communication and they work so closely together, but why is this topic specifically so important for the dairy industry? What makes this something for you worth researching?
I would say that the relationship dairy farmers and their vets have are so special. Mostly, you know your vet really well. The vet knows you as a farmer very well. And that's also why it is important to have the skills for that communication, not only to have a good emotional bond, but also to be the best advisor possible. And we want our veterinarians to be able to be confident to talk about things that need to happen in maybe the how the herd is being held or standard operating procedures. And we know that veterinarians that are better equipped to communicate, that the farmers feel heard, they get advice that is better tailored to their farm and hence better for the farmer to implement, which a happy farmer, happy vets, and hopefully also happier cows, which is what we all want, right?
I agree. I think this is a really important research topic, and I think that the work that you're doing is excellent. So let's jump right into it a little bit more. Can you tell us about the specific study that you're working on right now? Walk us through that a little bit. What are we looking at in terms of the specific research study that you've been working on?
Yeah, okay. So let's dig into the biggest one, because I had a smaller pilot study on using this online tool, the Veterinary Dialogue Trainer, that was with Finnish and Swedish veterinarians. So that was a bit further away. And in the one that's the biggest one, that is, so I conducted this in Belgium, in the northern part of Belgium. So we had 28 dairy veterinarians, of which were four of them were women, 24 of them were men. And we had them enrolled in this controlled trial in which we had four groups. So the first group didn't get any training or intervention or whatsoever. So they just did their jobs. The second group, they got a series of webinars as an intervention. So they had 3 half-days of online webinar in a small group setting. The third group didn't get those webinars, but they got access to that veterinary dialogue trainer so they could practice for themselves with this online farmer how to do herd health conversations. And then the fourth group was kind of the blended learning group. So they had both the webinars and they had access to that online training tool. And what we asked them to do is audio record your herd health visits before the trainings and after the trainings, because we want to see whether we get a difference, right, in their communication skills, but also in the opinion of the farmer about them. So we assessed the communication skills of the veterinarian and kind of the structure of the consultation based on Calgary Cambridge communication guides. Some of you may have heard of that. Most of you probably not, and that's okay. And we also had both the veterinarians and the farmers fill in questionnaires on how they felt the communication went, how they felt that the advice was given, and whether they were satisfied or not.
That's great. So I guess maybe to summarize, you were looking at veterinary and farmer communication before and after some form of training was done. And then you had various aspects of how you trained veterinarians to communicate with farmers, and then looked at the impact that that had on how well veterinarians communicated with the farmer, but then also how well the farmer felt that the communication went. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Great. And so what did you find? What were some of the results that came out of that?
It's been very interesting and exciting and overwhelming. We have a lot of data, and I think maybe for this podcast, it would be nice to kind of look at what the farmers thought about the veterinarians and how they communicated with them. So what we saw, first and foremost, I asked the farmers, how important are your veterinarian's communication skills in dealing with you as a dairy farmer? And this was scored as important. So farmers find it important that their vets can communicate well with them. And what we saw regarding to their satisfaction, they rated almost all statements, so 15 statements, as very good or excellent. So farmers are very happy with their veterinarians in general already to begin with. And we have to look at these data closer to see whether we actually can see differences, because they were already so happy, right? So how much is there to improve? There were two things that stood out to me specifically, is that there were statements, only two, where instead of scoring very good or excellent, they scored good or very good. So just a little less amazing. And those were, how well did you understand the cost today? And how well did you understand, or did you like the veterinarian's discussion of the cost with you? So how did they do it, and how well did you understand? So apparently there is just a little dip in how satisfied they are with their veterinarian's discussion of the cost. And I think that's interesting, especially since we know that there's quite a lack in research about cost discussions. And speaking to personal experiences, it is hard to talk about money. So I think it's interesting that comes back from that data too.
Absolutely. I think most people can agree, regardless of the context or the sector, talking about money, talking about cost, expenses, cost for a service, and probably very similarly, most veterinarians across all different species probably have same sentiments that it's difficult to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And what I also would like to highlight is that generally farmers are already very happy and satisfied with how their veterinarians communicate. And what we also see is that veterinarians are a bit more strict on themselves than farmers are. So veterinarians score themselves about 10% lower. So this was a percentage question, like from 0 to 100, what kind of percentage would you score your veterinarian? How good are they? And farmers were mostly above 80%. And veterinarians score themselves about 10% lower than the farmers did. And I think that really shows how self-critical veterinarians can be and how dedicated they are to providing the best service and the best care. So I was kind of interested to see that. And another thing that I think was interesting to mention as well is that structure-wise. So we see a few steps in a consultation, right? You open it, you want to create rapport, you set the agenda, you want to gather information, and after an examination or a discussion about numbers, so to say, you would give information, give advice, and then plan for a follow-up. And what we saw is that generally the veterinarians are really good in creating that rapport. I mean, a lot of vets have known their clients, and a lot of farmers know their vets for more than 10 years. And oftentimes it's very personal contact. And so they're really good at that. They're really good at getting that information. But sometimes there is a mismatch on how well they are equipped to find out the needs of the farmer and to motivate the farmer for a specific plan. So I think that there might be some room for improvement. So what we looked at, and this moves away from the questionnaires, but this comes from actually listening to those conversations and scoring whether or not a specific element was present in a visit, and also counting, for example, the number of questions that a veterinarian asked, whether they were open question or closed questions, whether the veterinarian was giving a compliment, stuff like that. So what we did was we looked at the consultation structure that was taught to these veterinarians during the webinars, and we scored whether all of those elements from that structure were present. And what we saw is that all veterinarians were great at the opening. And I think it is one of the strong aspects for a lot of veterinarians, because they care so much about their people and about their farmers a lot. And what we also saw is that they were good at the data gathering part when it concerned more the biomedical information, so to say. So for how long has problem XYZ been going on? What kind of drop in milk yield have you had? Stuff like that. So they're really good at that. And then there are some things that just come up a bit less in a way. So for example, something like setting the agenda. Oftentimes we look in our agendas and we see, okay, going to the farm of Mr. Johnson, going there for preg checks. And then kind of assuming that that's what's going to happen that day, or that that's the only day, and kind of skipping over, double checking. Okay, so in my agenda, there's preg checks. Is there anything else that you have on your mind for today that we might discuss? Because if you do that, you tap into what's going on in the farmer's mind, what's going on at the farm in general, and whether there might be other pressing issues. And you can discuss together, like, how are we going to prioritize these? And maybe you as a vet, you looked into their Earth Health records and you had something additional. And you can kind of negotiate what the priorities are instead of just kind of brushing over that, going to the preg checks, and then almost being gone, or maybe already being back in the car and getting that phone call. But, oh, wait a minute, I had another question. So you can really improve that relationship and effectiveness of a visit if you make sure you negotiate that agenda before you dive into the specifics.
I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned at the beginning a little bit about an intervention for the veterinarians in terms of learning a little bit more about how to improve communication. So what are some of the challenges with measuring change in the way that you did this study? I know you mentioned that they're already pretty highly regarded by farmers, and so it's a little bit difficult to see differences in terms of communication before and after the intervention. So how do we know if the interventions are working? And maybe talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges with that type of approach.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, these are high-level learners. Our veterinarians generally are super skilled in what they do. So it has been challenging. Absolutely. And also because it's such a multi-layer thing, right? Communication. And we know from earlier research is that the way you communicate is not set in stone. You will adapt your way of communicating to the person you're talking to the situation you're in, but also to how you're feeling that day. So, or maybe how busy your agenda is for that day. So it is hard to measure. And that's also why it was so important to look at data and recordings before the intervention and after the intervention, So we can compare the before and the after. And then also sometimes a big or a small difference, like a bigger difference is easier to see, right? And if you look at statistics, then it's easier to find a bigger difference. And it's also easy to dismiss a small difference. But sometimes how big it is and whether it is statistical significant, as we call that, is not as important, but sometimes it's how it feels to the participants, which is important. So we're still working on the actual statistics parts of that. So we're looking at trends at the moment. All of this is preliminary data. But in ways of seeing whether it's a difference, I would like to share what one of the participants said to me about doing the webinar. So this was a veterinarian who was in the blended group, so both the online and the webinar. And she called me up afterwards and she said, you know what, after being part of this study, I feel way more confident to visit a farm where I know that there's going to be a challenging problem or a challenging conversation. And she found it more easy now to start a conversation about hard topics. So that had really impacted her. And if I look at another veterinarian, he told me, well, you know, I started practicing with the communication skills from the training. And one of my farmers who I have been talking to about starting off a vaccination program, and he had put it off. I finally sat down with him to really determine what he needed from me in that process. And now, all of a sudden, after 10 years of not doing the vaccinations, this farmer started a vaccination program for his herd. So that's only one story for two veterinarians, which might not show up in data necessarily, but it does have a big impact on these individual people.
I think that's a great example and brings me to my next question, which is about new vets or veterinary students. So thinking about what you've learned through this research, some of the major takeaways that you've already mentioned for us, what do you think we should be teaching to new veterinarians when it comes to client communication skills? I know that for many vets, even if they've been in the profession for many years, they still struggle, as you mentioned, with communication, or it takes a lot of, you know, experience with having hundreds of calls with clients to really understand how to communicate with different types of people. But when we're thinking about the importance of veterinary and farmer communication and wanting to get this right off the bat, how should we be teaching students?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think a lot of veterinary faculties are either already working with a communication skills program or thinking about starting one. I mean, even for myself, when I was still studying at our vet faculty, we had pretty limited classes and courses on it, and it's getting better. But I think the general skills and the general things that we should be teaching our students should be first and foremost, always, you're working more with people than with animals, almost, because every single animal is attached to a person. So I think really seeing the person behind your client, so either the farmer or someone who owns a pet, always see the person first and build a relationship with them. Because if you do the small talk first and really take that time, it doesn't need to be a lot of time, but do that first, then it's easier to talk about the big talk. Then it's easier about how much is it going to cost to redo the young stock barn. Then it's easier to talk about what are we going to do with succession. So I would really love for vet students to focus on that. And then specific skills wise would be, how to structure a conversation. So teach them how to open a conversation, how to set up an agenda, how to determine the needs of the farmer, and really what motivates a farmer. Because it can be so different per person. Do they want to be the best? Are there things in finances we need to know? Are there things on family circumstances we need to know? Because all those things really have an effect on motivation and whether advice would be feasible enough. And then next to that would be how to explain and plan when we know what's going on. So if we know there's a mastitis problem or whatever, like how are we going to get the farmers on board with a plan that works for them? So I think those skills would be really important for veterinary students to teach them right off the bat.
Definitely. I really like the point that you mentioned about knowing the farmer first or seeing the farmer first allows you to kind of speed up following that. So your appointments are more efficient, you're having better communication, you understand the farmer better, there's less resistance. And so I think it's one of those things that maybe we take for granted, but like you said, building that right from the get-go is really going to be something that helps veterinarians throughout their entire career in all types of conversations with all types of clients. When it comes to the farmer, I guess, rather, what advice would you have for farmers in terms of how to communicate with their vet and being maybe productive or proactive in their relationships with their veterinarian? I know that, you know, a lot of this is obviously vet communication to the farmer, but what can farmers maybe be communicating to their veterinarian about their expectations for their herd health visits or how they like to be communicated with? What are your some points here that farmers can listen to and take away and think about in their next future conversations with their vets?
Yeah, I think that's a good one to think about because it takes two to tango, right? And I think for supporting their vets and also to increase the effectiveness of those visits, it would be a really good thing if you as a farmer would have like a list of things that are on your mind and that you want to discuss. So you can discuss with the veterinarian what the agenda is, right? And your veterinarian will gladly prioritize with you and what is needed, what needs to be prioritized, and what can maybe be put off to a next time. So if you as a farmer would already have an idea of what you would like to discuss, what you expect from your veterinarian, that would tremendously help your veterinarian as well. And also like really harness that relationship in a way that if you're in doubt about an advice that you get from your veterinarian and you're not sure whether you're able to implement it or whether it's feasible for your farm, you both have a great relationship. So when in doubt, please speak up and ask a question or speak up and let your veterinarian know that this is not going to work in your specific farm. Because I know, at least for me, I can only speak for myself, but I find it quite hard to kind of feel that sense of conflict when you say no to someone's well-intentioned and high-quality advice. It feels hard to say no, even though you know that it might not really work for you. So help yourself and the veterinarian by speaking up and letting know from the get-go that that might not work or maybe needs to be tweaked. So you really increase the effectiveness of your consultations.
So thinking about this research kind of from the big picture, what's your goal? What's your goal with the research that you're doing and what kind of impact do you hope that this research will have on farmers and veterinarians and animal health and welfare?
So for me, the big picture is that I really want to support veterinarians in supporting their farmers. And I hope that with this research, I can help these veterinarians and help farmers to really harness the relationships they're having and see how they spend their time in a more positive way, in a more effective way, that both the veterinarian and the farmer feel supported. And that advice is more tailored to the farm and the farmer, so it's easier to follow and will lead to healthier animals in the end.
Excellent. I really like that. And I guess thinking about maybe next steps for you and for your research, what are some of the things that you're hoping to focus on after this or related to this? What's next?
So what's next? There's quite a few things already going on. But specific to this research, I also collected some mental health data of veterinarians. And I am excited to dig in because we know that mental health, both for farmers and for veterinarians, can be quite a challenge. So I'm hoping to see whether there's a relation between communication skills and mental health, and whether we can maybe also support mental health by supporting veterinarians in their communication.
That's excellent. Mental health is definitely something that's become more and more of a conversation across many industries. So we're very excited to hear about what's coming next for you. Hopefully we can have you back on the podcast to talk a little bit more about that when those results are in. But thank you so much for joining us today, Linda. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. And we're very interested to hear about what you've been doing and where you're going next. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. For more information, please visit dairyfarmersofcanada.ca/en/dairy-research. This podcast was narrated by myself, Julia Saracini, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. This project is part of Dairy Research Cluster 3, a national research funding program made possible by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's AgriScience Clusters program, Dairy Farmers of Canada, Lactinet, and Novolet.